It really is a tremendous chut to be here, not only here in the OU Center, but here to give a shiur, Gena Le Zechra, in loving memory of Mrs. Linda Pruer Brachfeld, Marat Chaya Sasha, Bat Rav Yosefa, Hillel Aleha HaShalom, and particularly now during Yemei HaSkula, because that's what Chazal call these days, the days that lead up to Ma'amad Har Sinai, the days in preparation for Shavuot that we know are in fact not only the Shloshet Yemei Hagbalah, the 3 days before we actually accept the Torah, but in fact all of these days wherein we recognize and appreciate what it means to be an Am Segula. And therefore, in order to appreciate the entire time of preparation, we know that it's not just when we accepted the Torah at Ma'amad Har Sinai over 3,500 years ago that we had to go out of our ways to prepare, but every year we're meant to prepare. And isn't it interesting how we prepare for Chag HaShavuot, not only starting Rosh Chodesh, but it always turns out, starting 52 years ago, that we actually prepare for Chag HaShavuot also through celebrating exactly a week beforehand Yom Yerushalayim. And therefore, if we pay attention to what Yom Yerushalayim symbolizes, perhaps we'll appreciate that it really is the perfect prelude for Chag HaShavuot. And if we internalize the messages of Yom Yerushalayim here in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, then maybe we really will be more prepared for Chag HaShavuot this year. So let's get started and see how, in fact, we are meant to take a look at even the more what we'll call even modern holidays as revisiting the holidays of the past. After all, the Sfat Emet, over 100 years ago, told us that Hanukkah and Purim, two rabbinic holidays that came, as we know, way after the time of the giving of the Torah, are really luminaries. They're orot of the regalim. They're really expressions of the biblical holidays of the three regalim, of Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. Rak ha-shloshet regalim ha-mufurashim ba-Torah, him b'Torah shebechtav. It's true that the three regalim are all written in the Torah, in Torah shebechtav, v'yesh keneged ze gam ken regalim shebetorah sheba'al peh. But at the same time, he says, we have similar expressions. We have regalim in rabbinic literature, in Chazal, in Torah sheba'al peh. V'hem orot ha-mekablim k'dimyon ha-or ha-levana shehi mi-or ha-chama k'yadua. And just like the moon is a reflection of the sun, so too, these chagim midrabanan are really expressions or reflections of the same holidays midoraita. Kein al yedei kochan shel b'nei Yisrael b'kabalatam hakel karaoi nishar mikol yom tov roshem b'knesset Yisrael. And therefore, when we properly observe the shloshet haregalim, it basically leaves a leftover impression on our edification as a people of Am Yisrael. So for example, with the koach that we have when we keep Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, that koach gives rise or reflection to similar holidays of a rabbinic nature. Ubekoach ze hotzia kenegdan regalin achirim. So for example, Chanukah is really almost the leftover or the reflection of the koach of which one of the regalim? Chag HaSukkot. Can anyone tell me why? What are similarities between Chanukah and Sukkot? 8 days, beautiful. Get the karbanos, beautiful. Again, that's exactly it. Beit Shammai says maybe we should be pochet baholech kepare hachag, beautiful. Gena, the idea of the light. Gena, the or of Chanukah, very reminiscent of the or of the Simchas Beit HaShoeva on Chag HaSukkot. Gena, the idea also of, again, really having 7 days and 8 days. Gena, the first day, and then the 7 days of Chanukah, the Nisim, the Halal, Hodayah, the salvation. It's the time of the agricultural harvest of the fruit, and Chanukah is when we harvest. Which fruit of the Shevaminim? The Aleph. So there really are numerous parallels between them. So too, Purim is a reflection, really, of Chag HaShavuot. Gena, Chazal even tell us that by Megillat Esther, when it says that Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, what did they do? Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. They finally re-accepted the Torah, but basically Torah shebichtav together with Torah sheba'alpeh. O Michag HaPesach, he says, but what could possibly be the reflection of Chag HaPesach, the time of Geula, the time of redemption from our oppressors? He says, not to worry, because Hashem has promised through the Nevi'im that there will be days. You're going to see wonders again, like you saw at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We have another proof for it, because it says, we recite this in Halal all the time, that they would bring so many karbanot for the chag that they'd have to tie up the leftover karbanot by the mizbeach. Shame bechinat Chanukah and Purim. What does that mean? That there are leftovers, once again, of the Shalosh Regalim, expressed through Chanukah and Purim. And he says, don't worry, because one day we're going to have an expression of Pesach as well. And today, we really do have a holiday that really does remind us of Pesach, that really does express a very similar salvation from our enemies, that really does serve as, one can say, a time of Geula. And which more modern holiday is this? Really, Yom HaAtzma'ut. But wait a second. Shavuos, as we know in the Torah, is built off of Pesach. After all, we've been counting Sfirat HaOmer every night. Sheva Shavuot. Sheva Shabbatot Mimot Tiyena Tisbru Chamishim Yom. And that's why Shavuot is also called Atzeret LaHashem Elokecha, just like Shmini Atzeret is the conclusion for Chag HaSukkot. So too, Shavuot is the conclusion for Pesach, not only with regard to the development of Am Yisrael from the time we left Mitzrayim until Matan Torah. And not only because we go from, again, literally eating matzah to a time that we eat Lechem Min Haaretz, that we celebrate on Shavuot. And not only because, again, Pesach started the fulfillment of Brit Bein Haftarim, Vot Tzeiti V'Hitzalti V'Ga'alti, but on Shavuot we celebrate So if we have a new type of holiday that reflects Gandhi, the power and the theme of Pesach, then one can imagine that what will also happen in today's time, that we'll have another expression of that theme through Yom Yerushalayim. And just to show how Yom Yerushalayim really is similar to Chag HaShavuot, we're now going to explore together how many similarities there are, but at the same time, how the themes of both Chagim relate so much one to the other that it's hard to dismiss the relationship between Yom Yerushalayim and Chag HaShavuot. Perhaps the most basic one you see in the first source. Ki mitzion tzeitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. It's actually going to be the Goyim, Yeshayahu says, who recognize that Torah comes forth from Tzion and the word of God from Yerushalayim. So what better way to celebrate Zman Matan Torateinu after we celebrate Tzion, Dvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, the Metzudat David says, it's not just that Torah comes forth from Tzion. Baruch Hashem, today we have so many different Torah institutions worldwide. Rather, HaTorah HaAmitit Hi HaYotzeit Mitzion Ve'en Zulata Ba'olam. The Torah that comes from Yerushalayim has a greater truth, is a greater expression of the word of Hashem than Torah that comes from anywhere else in the world. And therefore, again, anyone who is listening or watching this video should know that the Torah here in the OU Center in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, again, there's something about this Torah that is incomparable to any Torah that you can hear beyond Yerushalayim. And of course then, if we understand what Yerushalayim is all about, then we'll appreciate all the more the Torah from Tzion. So let's go back then and see how Chazal already associate Yerushalayim with Matan Torah. The next source, the Medrash in Tehillim, tells us that in Parshat Hazinu, when we hear about Hashem mi Sinai ba, again, what does that mean? V'Sinai mehechan ba. Where is Hashem coming from on his way to Har Sinai? Amar Rav Yosei, mehar hamoria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming from Har HaMoriah. Now, this is a little anachronistic because Har HaMoriah is not really going to be built with the Beis HaMikdash until the time of Shlomo. And yet Chazal say, no, something happened at Har HaMoriah before Har Sinai. And what's that? Akedas Yitzchak, excellent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Har HaMoriah before he went to Har Sinai. Nitlash, he went to Har HaMoriah in order to take some of the mountain rock, like one who takes chala from an isa, mimakom shenakad Yitzchak Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, basically, from the mountain of sacrifice. And he took a little piece of Har HaMoriah, and then he came to Har Sinai, and he implanted that mountain rock on Har Sinai. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ho'il v'Yitzchak Avihem ne'akad alav. Because this is the mountain where Yitzchak was willing to be sacrificed upon it. So too, Na'el levanav l'kabel alav et haTorah. I want you to accept the Torah and the same place where Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice himself. What message is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us about the Torah? You have to be willing to sacrifice yourself. So even when it comes to Har Sinai, when you remember Shavuos, first remember Yerushalayim, because what does Yerushalayim symbolize? It's a place of sacrifice. You have to remember that keeping the Torah is not going to be so easy. Keeping the Torah is going to demand self-sacrifice, is going to demand a lot of hard work, is going to demand a tremendous amount of Yirat Elokim. And therefore, the two are inextricably connected, so much so that this beautiful mashal of a little piece of Har HaMoriah is in fact upon Har Sinai. And don't worry, because one day Hashem is going to return that piece to Har HaMoriah, because Har HaMoriah then is going to serve basically as a synthesis between the words of the Torah and the sacrifice. And when will that be? Nachon yeh Har Beit Hashem Barosh HaHarim. Don't worry. Again, God is going to make sure to restore the mountain of Torah and sacrifice back to Yerushalayim. So here we see an automatic association between the themes of Yerushalayim that remind us of the sacrifice of Akedat Yitzchak and the themes of sacrifice by Kabbalat HaTorah, by Har Sinai. But the Gemarot and Chazal go way beyond, and they tell us what really is Har HaMoriah. Why is it called Har HaMoriah? Because it is a mountain of Har Sheyatzah Mimeno Hora'ah LiYisrael. It's not just a mountain of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mountain of teaching. It's a mountain of Torah. In other words, these two themes are intertwined. You can't separate Torah from Har HaMoriah. You can't separate Shavuos from Yerushalayim. V'charamar ha-sheyatzah mimenu mora le'umot ha'olam. And just like Yerushalayim, Har HaMoriah is going to be a place wherein the divine manifestation is going to be overt to all the members of the world, and people are going to be gripped with fear. So too, you're familiar with the famous midrashim that say what happened at the time of Ma'amad Har Sinai? The world basically stood still so that everyone would recognize something is going on now with Am Yisrael. Through Torah and through Yerushalayim, God's presence will be manifest not just to Am Yisrael, but to all the nations of the world. Rashi, in fact, says, what does this mean? Mora l'ulmot ha'olam, sheshomin gedulot Yisrael v'Yerushalayim u'metachadim aleihem. That they hear what happens to Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim and they're going to be gripped with fear. Again, or Har HaMoriah, Rashi even says, maybe Har HaMoriah actually then is Har Sinai, because the same thing happens at Har Sinai. All the nations of the world recognize that there is a particular selection taking place, and they're going to be gripped with fear.
So is it ever asked why Hashem doesn't just march straight to Israel?
Excellent. So Chazal asked this time and time and time again, and numerous answers are given. Number one, to teach us that the Torah isn't just limited to Tzion and Yerushalayim. It's most manifest, it's most appreciated, it's going to be clearest and truest in Yerushalayim, but it is not linked to one place. You can keep Torah wherever you are in the world. Again, make Aliyah, because it's best here. But again, you can observe Torah, and you should, obviously, wherever you are in the world. That's one, I'm going to say, perhaps one of the most classic explanations. Another one, though, is we weren't yet ready, and we're going to see this through at the different stages and a midrashim of Chazal. We weren't yet ready to appreciate Torah Mitzion. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Torah in the Midbar, a gradual conditioning of a slave mentality people. Again, understand that these are universal values, and then you'll be able to appreciate the particular values of Yerushalayim. In which case, one should ask, wouldn't it have been more worthwhile then to celebrate Shavuos and then Yom Yerushalayim? So we'll see by the end of the Shi'ur. No. First, we have to understand, now post facto, we know these values of Torah. And we know the values of Yerushalayim. And to a certain degree, we're supposed to reconnect with these values of Yerushalayim, and then we'll be more sensitized and excited and a little more conscious of what it means on an annual basis to re-accept the Torah through Na'aseh V'Nishma. The Maharsha says, I don't understand. What does this mean that Har HaMoriah is Har Sinai? Geographically, they're in different places. Har Sinai is in the Sinai Desert. Har HaMoriah is Yerushalayim. But we know Livnot Har Beit Hashem b'Har HaMoriah. We know that's the place of the Beit HaMikdash. But the Midrash explains, that's okay. You should see them as very similar mountains. As a matter of fact, the last Makor, the last source, there are actually five names to Har Sinai. We know it's also called Har Chorev in the Torah. Har Sinai, Har HaMoriah. Yes, it is also called Har HaMoriah, perhaps for the Midrashic explanations that we already saw, instilling fear and instruction in the hearts of Am Yisrael, exactly what we find in Yerushalayim as well. The next page we see also a beautiful Ma'amar Chazal found in Midrash, also in Shir HaShirim, when they call out to all the residents of Yerushalayim, Tse'ena u're'ena benot Zion, come out and join in the marriage of Melech Shlomo, Batarasha etralu imo, b'yom chatunato, b'yom simchat libo, come and see the crown that Shlomo's mother has crowned him with on his wedding day, on the happiest day. And Chazal asks, well, isn't the wedding day the happiest day? And in fact, answer, no, these are two separate days. The wedding day is a very happy day. What is Yom Chatunato? Zo Matan Torah. What is Yom Simchat Libo? What can be even greater than that? Ze Binyan Beit HaMikdash Yibaneh B'mehirah B'yameinu. These are two of the hallmark occasions in not just Jewish history, but in Jewish thought, in our consciousness. On an annual and actually daily basis, we should be thinking about the Simcha, Simchat HaTorah, and Simchat Yerushalayim V'Gilubah. This is what is going to truly serve as the basis of all, as we know, all of the eschatological nevuot, all of the nevuot of Yemot HaMashiach, of utopian society, all of Am Yisrael keeping Torah, Dafka, in Yerushalayim. And therefore, the Rambam tells us that when it comes to Yerushalayim, everything that goes on in Yerushalayim is actually modeled after Yom Chatunato, is modeled after the wedding day. So we have the wedding revisited in Yerushalayim, meaning when you look at Yerushalayim, you're supposed to be reminded of Ma'amad Har Sinai, just like in the Midbar, we just heard this past week's parsha, we had Machane Yisrael, and we saw Arba Machanot. In other words, Yisrael was on the periphery, and then we had the Levim, and then the Kohanim, and then the Mishkan in the middle, from the Petach of the Chatzer, all the way to the Kodesh Kodeshim. He says, so too, Yerushalayim basically is going to serve as a microcosm of that. We're going to have the Beis HaMikdash in the middle, the Ezrat Kohanim, then the Ezrat Yisrael, where the Levim can be, and then the Ezrat Nashim, that we know is not exclusive to woman, but actually is where every member of Am Yisrael came to bring their karbanot. So we see even the picture, even the layout, the infrastructure of Yerushalayim is modeled after Har Sinai. Now we're going to see a few more supports for this, showing that literally Ma'amad Har Sinai serves as the basis and really the blueprint for everything that's going to go on in Yerushalayim. For example, Rabbi Zaloni explains, just like by Har Sinai, we had Shalosh Kedushot, three different expressions of holiness. We had the Av Ha'anan, that was basically all the way at the summit of the mountain, reminiscent of, again, the manifestation of Hashem, the presence of God to which Moshe is going to walk up. He says that's like Kodesh Kadashim, where only Moshe and eventually Aaron HaKohen are going to be allowed to go. Then we have the rest of, then we have the place where the Kohanim were allowed to go, and that's going to resemble the Kodesh. And then we have the place, the rest, the bottom of Har Sinai, which is where Am Yisrael was standing. That's like the Chatzer of the Mishkan. And if one thinks about it, it really truly is like this, that everything that existed on a horizontal, on a vertical level by Har Sinai is going to exist on a horizontal level by the Mishkan and ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, just like we had again, the Dibur of Hashem on top of Har Sinai, God speaking. We're going to have the Dibur of Hashem in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Just like we had a Panim El Panim relationship and the fire of Hashem on Har Sinai, so too, we're going to have the menorah and the Lechem HaPanim in the Kodesh. Just like the Mizbeach was by Am Yisrael, where they initiated the Brit HaGanot, the covenant of Parshat Mishpatim, right after Kabbalat HaTorah, so too, we're going to have the Mizbeach in the Chatzer, again, right by the area, again, of all of Am Yisrael. And therefore, if you look in the Psukim in Shmo Perach of Dalid, you see this explicitly. Moshe was the one to go up all the way up on top. Then we had the second area, which was just for the Kohanim and Ziknei Yisrael. And then we have the rest of Am Yisrael. The Medrash HaGadol says, Moshe was a machtze b'fnei atzmo. Aaron was his own machtze, their own domains. Nadav and Aviv, the Zekenim of Yisrael, exactly the same. And then Am Yisrael on the foot of the mountain. Wow! Again, you can imagine this. Am Yisrael, right after Ma'amad Har Sinai, right after this thunder, the lightning, the heavenly clouds, what a magnificent sound and light show. You can imagine that the very next morning, they're going to open up their windows. Okay, their tents. They're going to open up their tents, and they're going to look at this mountain. And what is going to be on the mountain? No thunder or lightning. No Giloi Hashchina. No revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, because you're going to have a continued revelation. You're going to have a Mishkan, a Suli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Tocham, through which you're going to revisit Ma'amad Har Sinai, on a daily basis. And actually, the ideal is going to be when you get to Yerushalayim, and you're going to see this explicitly. So in fact, the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael tells us, it's not only that the actual structure of the encampment resembled Har Sinai in Yerushalayim, but other halachos as well. For example, how do we even know that the Sanhedrin, the judicial center, should be on Har HaBayit by the Mizbeach? Right, I would have thought, okay, make a religious domain, and as we have today, put the Supreme Court building near Cinema City. Again, but no, again, they have to be, the Lishkat HaSanhedrin is by Har HaBayit, by the Mizbeach. Nimsenu lemedin shasanhedrin betzad haMizbeach, from Har Sinai. Because we know that by Har Sinai, b'mamat Har Sinai, the Zakenim stood right by the Mizbeach. And therefore, everything that had happened by Har Sinai is going to be revisited by Yerushalayim. The two are connected. One is going to be linked to the other. And similarly, the next Medrash as well, just like the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Gena Mizrach Be'azara, we have Am Yisrael coming in from the eastern side. That's because by Har Sinai, what side of the mountain were all of Am Yisrael standing on? Take a guess. The eastern side, not only is that we could recognize that our backs are towards the sun and we're paying homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the supreme God, but also, basically, to set a precedent for coming in from the eastern side to the west, which, as we know, is exactly how we're going to enter Har HaBayit with the Kodesh Kadashim on the most western side. The Sifra tells us even the little detailed halachot, for example, the fact that you have to use particular kelim when you collect the blood and even sprinkle the blood. Where do we get this idea that you have to sprinkle blood upon the Mizbeach? Chazal say, we learn that from what was done by Har Sinai. Moshe was told, collect the blood by Har Sinai, as an expression of a covenant. What was always an official covenant? You literally sprinkle blood. So Moshe sprinkles half the blood on the Mizbeach, symbolic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's participation in this covenant, and the other half of the blood he sprinkles upon Am Yisrael to show, again, Naaseh V'Nishma, that we're all, again, there's a symbiotic relationship over here. Chazal tell us that's why you have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach each time, to remember our participation in the Brit of Har Sinai. So every time we offer a karban, we're basically revisiting Mamad Har Sinai, again, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai tell us even the Karban Ola, the daily sacrifice that's brought every day, is either coming to remind us, the Tamid that we bring, either of the actual Karban that was brought in the Midbar, the Karban Ola, or Gena to remind us of the Olat Re'iyah that was brought as well, meaning go back to the very first time that we brought Karbanot on a national level, namely by Har Sinai. That's going to establish the precedent for all of the sacrifices in the future. As we take a look on source 3, on the second source, Vayikra Rabba, Rav Huna says, from here we even find, why are the aganot, gena the brit, gena when Hashem says, I want you to spill or sprinkle half the blood on the Mizbeach, half the blood on Am Yisrael, to show, gena, that there was a hashba'a. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was swearing us in as part of this, and we were swearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every time we offer a karban and sprinkle blood on the Mizbeach, we're reaffirming our participation in Mamad Har Sinai. But it even goes beyond this. We find that the same spheres, and one can even argue, limitations that were existent on Har Sinai continue in Yerushalayim as well. We know that just like by Mamad Har Sinai, Vayamod ha'am mirachok Moshe nigash el harafel, we stood from afar while Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the top of the mountain so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could speak to Moshe. Take a look at what the Midrash in Yalkut Shimoni says. From where was Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu? This sounds a little strange. Mi beit ha'bechira nidaberimo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe from the Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash isn't built at the time of Har Sinai. What are Chazal trying to tell us? The Dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be expressed in the Beis HaMikdash is the same source as the Dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Har Sinai. And even though it's going to be 480 years later, as Shlomo HaMelech will tell us, it's the same source. We're going back to Mamad Har Sinai. We're going back to divine revelation every time we find ourselves in Yerushalayim. And therefore, the Ramban, who was famous for explaining the Sod HaMishkan, What really is the Mishkan all about? He says the Mishkan is the ongoing revelation. Sod HaMishkan Shiha Kavod Asher Shachan Alav Har Sinai Shochein Alav Benistar. So that the same revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we had by Har Sinai is going to be in existence in a slightly more dormant fashion on through the Mishkan. The same Vayishkan Alav Kvod Hashem Vayishkan Hashem Al Ol Moed Ukamoshe Ne'amar. Again, every word, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem, in order for us to appreciate that the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is going to be revisited. There is an ongoing revelation through the Mishkan, but he doesn't end there. Take a look at the last bolded words. He says, HaMistakel Yafe Baktuvim, HaNemarim B'matan Torah, Omevin Ma SheKatavnu Behen, Yavin Sod HaMishkan. If you understand everything that was said by Har Sinai, if you understand these three different domains, if you understand the limitations of Am Yisrael, if you understand that the horizontal Mishkan is really just an ongoing Ma'amad Har Sinai, then he says, you'll understand what the Mishkan is all about. It's about revisiting Har Sinai. It's about reminding us not only about the covenant, but about what it meant for us to say Nasa V'Nishma. It's about reminding us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in our daily lives. It reminds us about how to attract HaKadosh Baruch Hu to our lives, because just as we brought Dibur and Panim and Eish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Har Sinai, we can do that every day in the Mishkan. And the Mishkan isn't just about bringing Hashem for an ephemeral revelation. It's about keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu there through the Karban Tamid, through the Ner Tamid. And that's what we revisit, but he doesn't end there. He says that's the Sod HaMishkan. The Mishkan is basically Ma'amad Har Sinai over and over and over again. Yavin Sod HaMishkan Ubeis HaMikdash. He didn't have to say that. But he wants us to know that what we are going to Be'ezrat Hashem experience in Yerushalayim at the Beis HaMikdash really is a perpetuation of Ma'amad Har Sinai. You can't separate the two. What happened on Shavuos is basically going to be manifest every single time you're in Yerushalayim. And you'll appreciate what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim. And therefore, maybe we need Yerushalayim to remind us of Shavuos. Maybe we need it exactly a week earlier. So much so that we're told that if we don't appreciate the Torah, then we don't deserve to have a Beis HaMikdash. Because if the Beis HaMikdash is the ongoing revelation of Ma'amad Har Sinai, then if you don't re-accept the Torah, then you don't need. Then basically you don't deserve to have an ongoing revelation of acceptance of the Torah if you're defying the Torah, which is exactly what the Gemara in Bava Metzia says. It says, who can understand, quoting Yirmiyahu, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? And Chazal tell us, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shelo Berchu Batorah Tchila. Because they didn't show proper appreciation of the words of the Torah. Had they appreciated Torah by saying Berchot HaTorah, then they would have still had a Beit HaMikdash. Because you can't separate the revelation of the giving of the Torah from the Torah itself. And interestingly, the Bach explains on the tour, he says, why is this the case? He says, because the Torah itself, whenever we're involved in Torah, we basically are able to take our physical worlds and bring them together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, we merit the divine Shechina in our mortal, corporeal midst by accepting the Torah Mishamayim. If we don't accept the Torah Mishamayim, then the Shechina can no longer stay in our midst. And that's why, in fact, the two are very much connected. As we turn to page 4, the Gemara in Makot tells us exactly this. David HaMelech in Tehillim shares with us the excitement. Samachti be'omrim li Beit Hashem Nelech. Shares with us the excitement of those that are going to the Beit HaMikdash. And notice that it doesn't say, I'm so happy when I go up to Beit Hashem. It says, I'm happy when my friends invite me and they say, Beit Hashem Nelech, let's go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what makes me happy, says David. I'm happy by the social nature of the Beis HaMikdash. But that's a little strange and anachronistic because David never went to the Beis HaMikdash. So Chazal say, Gena, perhaps what he's really saying, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Ribono Shel Olam. I'm so excited when I hear people saying, Beit Hashem Nelech. Very soon we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Because as soon as David dies, what did Hashem promise David? That his son is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So David says, I'm so excited that people are saying that they can't wait till I die so that they can then go to the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, David, you missed the point. Ki tov yom b'chatzerecha me'elef. טוב לי יום אחד שאתה עוסק בתורה לפניי מאלף עולות שעתיד שלמה בנך להקריב לפניי על גבי המזבח. Now, the point is not to go to the Beis HaMikdash. The point is to learn Torah. I want you to stay alive as long as you can, David, because the day that you learn Torah is much greater than bringing 1,000 karbanot to the Mizbeach. Because then you miss the point of the Beis HaMikdash. The point of the Beis HaMikdash is to serve as an ongoing revelation of Har Sinai. The point of Yerushalayim is to be able to revisit Shavuos, is to be able to understand what Shavuot is all about. And maybe that's why we need Yerushalayim. We're thinking of Yerushalayim, Sisu v'simchu, gen yes, gilu ba kolo avaha. We're so excited. And how many of you danced in Rikud Galim on Sunday? Beautiful, and you felt it. Again, going and realizing, oh my, this is as close as we can possibly get to that experience of going up with our animals and karbano to the Beis HaMikdash. And the point is, yes, but recognize that a week later you're going to celebrate Chag HaShavuot. That really the climax is not Yerushalayim, but making sure that Yerushalayim brings you back to the Torah that you accepted on Shavuot. And therefore, in case you're not convinced, anyone not convinced yet? Okay, now we're going to see from a literary perspective just how much the Torah itself wants us to revisit Yerushalayim when we think of the Torah. How is that? So we already mentioned that chronologically, albeit Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah explicitly, not even once. There are two allusions to Yerushalayim, and the more explicit one, even though we have Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, we know for sure that what is Har HaMoriah? That is Yerushalayim. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach na pinchat yechitcha asher havta et Yitzchak v'lech lecha l'eretz HaMoriah v'aleo sham lo'la l'achad harim asher omari lecha. So let's take a look and see that just as the Torah writes the story of Akedas Yitzchak in Yerushalayim, the Torah then wants us to revisit it, specifically at the time of Matan Torah, which is only going to underscore why we need to remember Yerushalayim, and not just what happens after Ma'amad Har Sinai, but the sacrifice of Yerushalayim even before we accept the Torah. So just like Avram Avinu deliberated for 3 days, Bayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Vayara Tamakom Mirachok, take a look, what does it say by Har Sinai? We need also 3 days, just like Avram, deliberate for 3 days and stand mirachok. Just like Avram saw the Shekhinah from afar, you're going to see the Shekhinah from afar. Vishtachavita mirachok. And just like Avram says, you stay here, he tells his attendees, I'm going to go, and what am I going to do by the mountain? Nishtachaveh, nashuva alichem. So too, hishtachavita mirachok. We also are going to be involved in prostration. And then, shvunu lanu bazeh, adasher nashuva alichem. Moshe says, I'm also going to go higher up to accept the luchot, but then I'm going to come back as well. Valeo la'ola, and Abraham, again, is willing first to bring Yitzchak as an ola. Vayishlach Avraham et yado, vayikach et hamachelet lishchot et beno. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Malach, is going to point out and say, Al tishlach Yitzchak lanar, don't slaughter him. So too, we know that the Na'arim of Bnei Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vayalu olot, and they offered sacrifices, just like Avraham Avinu, but Lo atilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach et yado. And even though they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they were eating and they were watching the revelation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped. Gena stopped from killing them. Just like Avraham Avinu is going to go over and over again. It says, Elamakom asherecha lachad harim asher omar elacha. Gena vayikar Avraham shim hamakom, hamakom. That appears 5 times in the story of the Akedah. So too, revisiting Har Sinai, even from the time of the Sne, wherein HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Har Sinai, HaMakom Asher Ata Omed Alav to Moshe, Admat Kodeshu, just like Avram gets up early in the morning, Vayachavosh Et Chamoro, Vayikach Et Shnei Na'arav Ito, so too we find that Moshe gets up early in the morning and is going to not take his 2 Na'arim, but take Shnei Luchot Avanim. And you can't help it, but see all of these revisiting, again, literary parallels from one story to the other. How does the story of the Akedah end? Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Hahu, Hashem Yireh. This is the place that Hashem sees. Hashem sees my Yirat Elokim. Hashem sees how devoted I am. And the Torah adds, and one day, Bahar Hashem Yireh. It will be the place where Hashem will be seen. Well, that's exactly what happens by Har Sinai. Again, the people call out, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, Omarek v'or Hashem ke'ish ochelet. Just like the ma'achelet of Abraham, so too, The glory of God, the manifestation of Hashem, is seen by everyone by Har Sinai. And therefore, it's almost as if the Torah is saying, look at the story of Mamad Har Sinai. Look at the story of Kabbalat HaTorah that you're going to celebrate on Shavuos. Well, guess what? You cannot really appreciate the story unless you go back to Yerushalayim. Unless you go back to the sacrifice of Yitzchak. Unless you go back to the Yirat Elokim of Avraham Avinu. And maybe that's why we need to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim right before Shavuot, not only as the recurring reflection of the holidays of Pesach, but really as a prelude to Chag HaShavuot. You cannot reaccept the Torah this year, in just a few days from now, unless you first celebrate Yerushalayim and remember what sacrifice and Yirat Elokim are all about. But as we know, Shavuos isn't just about Zman Matan Torah Teinu. As a matter of fact, Matan Torah is never mentioned explicitly in the Torah as what we celebrate on Shavuos. Rather, what is Shavuos known for? It's a time of Bikurim, when we bring our first of our Bikurim, namely the wheat, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we thank Hashem, Arami Oved Avi, my father was a wandering Aramean, he did not have a land, and then he went down to Mitzrayim, and then you took us out and you gave us the land, and here Hashem is the fruit of the land. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shavuos more than any other holiday. It really is a Jewish Thanksgiving. We thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, but if we go back, if you remember, again, next week's Parsha, Parshat Bahalotcha, we're going to hear about how Am Yisrael were on their way to Eretz Yisrael starting Chaf Iyar, and we hear at the beginning of Sefer Devarim that how long of a distance was it to get to Eretz Yisrael? They were 11 days away, which means what should have been the anniversary date? What should have been the date where we would have entered Eretz Yisrael had we not sinned over and over again? It would have been Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was the anniversary of coming to the Torah, again coming to Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Hahar Bayom Ba Chodesh Hashlishi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Basically, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for entering the land. So what does that have to do with Yerushalayim? Well, let's take a look. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us in Sefer Devarim, you're going to come into the land, but there are going to be different stages of development. You're not going to come into a fully developed land. Rather, Lo Bata Marata, first you're going to come to the Menucha, and then you're going to come to the Nachala. Menucha zo ha'aretz, Nachala zo Yerushalayim. That's stage number one. We celebrate the lands on Shavuos, but we have to remember that that's not the end, that the process continues to the ideal, namely the selection, the conquest, the building of Yerushalayim. And therefore, when we celebrate Yerushalayim, we're reminded, wait a second, we have to also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in less than a week for coming to Eretz Yisrael. But notice that even the personae, even the personalities that we associate with Shavuot, you can't help but associate with Yom Yerushalayim. And who am I clearly referring to? David HaMelech, that's right. Chazal tell us that David HaMelech died on Shavuot and Sanhedrin went up right after Shavuos to pay a Shiva call to Shlomo HaMelech. But we know something even more about David. We know that David is Ish Yerushalayim. David is the one, again, who on one hand died on Shavuos, so he's Mr. Shavuot. David is the descendant of Ruth, whom we read about on Shavuot. But David is Ish Yerushalayim. He's the one who conquered Yerushalayim and finished the conquest of Yehoshua ben Nun. He's the one who basically unified the kingdom, not only of the fallen Malchut of Shaul with Malchut Yehuda, but literally bridged the Malchut of B'nai Rachel with Malchut B'nai Leah. He's the one who's going to unify all of Am Yisrael together. David HaMelech is the one who's going to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. He is so the man of Yerushalayim. He basically selects Yerushalayim and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu corroborates the selection. He's the one who is selected in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tet Zayin with the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Shmuel is told by Hashem, I don't like the Shaul types. Shaul doesn't listen to me. So go and anoint one of the children of Yishai. And we know that Shmuel has been looking around. Where is the Shechina going after Shiloh, after the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed? So he realizes, the brachot of Moshe tell us, in that Binyamin is going to be the area Uveng Tefav Shechin, that Hashem will rest his Shechina. So Shmuel goes around to Gilgal, the eastern side of Binyamin, and to Beit El, the northern side of Binyamin, and like a good Chabad rabbi, he goes also to the western side, to Mitzpeh. Notice he never makes his way down south of Binyamin, which is where Yerushalayim, except when he has to go to Beit Lechem. Now he goes to Yerushalayim, and he sees the tall, dark, and handsome children of Yishai. He sees Eliab, he sees Shema, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, 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 you're not seeing very well. Al tabet al marehu. I don't like the tall, dark, and handsome types. Remember, those are the Sha'ul types. Ki me'astihu. Hadam yireh le'inayim. Shmuel, you're supposed to be a good seer. You're called the ro'eh, the seer. Man sees with his eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to the heart. And finally, they bring David, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, zehu. But first, he's described as Admoni, as very ruddy. Im yafei inayim. Notice that we hear he has good eyes. I don't know what that means, pretty eyes. V'tov ro'i. It either means that he's good looking or that he sees well. And in this context, it seems that he sees well. He has good eyes. He knows how to see to the heart. And let's prove it. Just like Hashem says, kum mishachehu ki zehu, after David conducts a census, and after he's punished, Vayomer David al Gad, sarli ma'od, nipla nabiyat Hashem. I realize that I have to submit myself before Hashem, that I was a little too arrogant. David comes after the Navi tells him, go and sacrifice in the threshing floor of Arav Nahayavusi. David, in fact, goes there. And when David goes there and submits himself before Hashem, he sees the Malach with an unsheathed sword, and David sacrifices. And then he says these words. He says, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim v'zeh Mizbeach Lo'olah LiYisrael. He realizes that this is the place where one submits oneself before Hashem. And with the same words with which he was selected, he selects Yerushalayim. David is the man of Yerushalayim. He understands what it means to be a Yirei Elokim, what it means to see to the heart. Shai Agnon beautifully tells Ena, his story, Tzmol Shel Shom, of Bloikov, who says every Shavuos, what does he do? He doesn't say he goes to the Kotel. It says he goes to Kever David on Har Tzion, even if that may not be exactly where he's buried. But again, he goes to Har Tzion, and he says, why do I go to Har Tzion on Yerushalayim? Because this is David's yard site. And I can't help on Shavuot, on Yom Matan Torah Teinu, I can't help not think of David, Ish Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. And he says, even though it's very hot out, and I heard it's supposed to be very hot, the Shavuos, he says, you know what I do? I start walking, and when I walk, I think of the nigunim. I think of all the tunes. I think of all the music that David composed, and then the words and the sounds of Tehillim, mamtikali yetzarki, soften and basically sweeten my path all the way to Har Tzion. Even though I don't really know any mizmor of Tehillim ba'al peh, yodea she'im eftachet pi va'ashir, that if I only start singing the music of David, the songs of Tehillim in Yerushalayim, yavo kol hamizmorim alehim v'yitzterfu l'nigun, then all the words automatically come here in Yerushalayim, and they join the music of David. But I'd like to end with perhaps the most obvious parallel and the most obvious message and theme that these two holidays share, and that's the message of Achdut. We know that by Har Sinai, albeit we've already started hearing about the trials and travails and tribulations and arguments of Am Yisrael in the Midbar, we know that when they got to Har Sinai, Shmot Perek Yudchet, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Shmot Perek Yudchet, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And that's strange. Vayichan, why the singular? What do Chazal tell us? Ish Echad, B'Lev Echad. That was basically the first and the last time that Am Yisrael displayed such tremendous achdut. And only when Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call Moshe up and say, okay, now tell Am Yisrael that I want to initiate a brit with them, that I want there to be a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, ish echad b'lev echad. That's what Shavuot celebrates as well, the giving of the Torah from a state of achdut. And we know Yerushalayim is exactly that, represents, personifies beautifully Achdut. Not only David HaMelech bringing Binyamin together with Yehuda, literally is a border city, and not only Yerushalayim being a conjugation of the two names and the two tales of Yerushalayim, Yira, the place of sacrifice of Ben Adam Lamakom of Avram Avinu, Shalem, the place where Malki Tzedek shares and is so generous to Avram Avinu. It brings Ben Adam Lamakom with Ben Adam Lachaviro. It combines not only values, but people, because we find a Mizmor Kuv Chafet. In fact, Samachti Bomrimli Beit Hashem Nelech. And when everyone comes up together to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim habnuya ki ir shechubra la yachdav. It's a city to which everyone is attached to it. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, what does that mean? Ir shosa kol Yisrael chaverim. Can't really explain it to you, but it's a city wherein all of Yisrael becomes chaverim. It's a city that brings us all together. It's a city wherein, really, all the Chavrei Knesset should put their egos aside and learn how to join a coalition so we have what to work on. But it is a city wherein everyone from all different walks of life, with head coverings, different head coverings, all come together. Ir shosa kol Yisrael chaverim. And the Gemara says, therefore, Yerushalayim lo nechalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim can never be divided amongst the tribes because it really does have to be unified. The Yalkut Shimoni tells us it's the city wherein Hashem said, I can't compromise on Avram's name of Yira, but I also can't compromise on Malki Tzedek's name of Shalem, so I'm going to call it both, and it won't be Yerushalayim, it will be Yerushalayim, to remind us that it exists in plural, and we can unify diverse opinions and ideas in Yerushalayim. And that's why, notice Mizmor Kuf Chapet, where is the Mishorer so excited to come? I'd expect him to say, Omdot hayu ragleinu b'sha'arayach Yerushalayim, Sheshem alu shvatim shvteyai dut li Yisrael. What is he so excited about? Not seeing the Beis HaMikdash. Kishama yashvu kisot lemishpat kisot lebeit David. What is he so excited about? Seeing the Supreme Court building? Again, it's true, it is very nice aesthetically. But no, he's talking about, yes, I can't wait to see the Sanhedrin. You know why? Because the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim is what's responsible for Shalom in Yerushalayim. Shalosh Shalom Yerushalayim Shalayu Ovayach Yi Shalom Bechilech Shavar Bamanotayach Laman Achai Vareyai Adabrana Shalom Bach. If there's Shalom, if there's Achdut in Yerushalayim, then Laman Beit Hashem Elokeinu Avaksha Tovlach, then there can be a Beis HaMikdash, then there can be Achdut everywhere. But in order for there to be Achdut, there also has to be a little bit of humility. We have to learn how to put our egos aside. And therefore, I hope the Chavrei Knesset hear this message as well. That we have to understand that Yerushalayim demands humility in order to achieve Achdut. That Yerushalayim reminds us of the famous Midrash of Har Sinai, wherein HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, says Rabbi Natan, upon which mountain should I give the Torah? And just as was asked before, we would think the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, Har Tabor comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, on the mountain upon which you're going to perform miracles to Devorah and Barak. Again, you should give the Torah upon my mountain. And Har Carmel says, what do you mean? You're going to show the manifestation of God to all the Nevi'ei Baal in the time of Eliyahu on my mountain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, enough. No, because the Torah can't be given with Ga'ava. And Hashem looks for, literally, the lowest and the lowliest of the mountains in the Midbar. And he says, I prefer Har Sinai, Shehu Shafel Mikulchem, because the Torah can only be accepted and kept with humility. And in order for Yerushalayim to be a place of Achdut, we have to learn how to be humble as well. And therefore, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, but Yitzhak Navon, at the time of the Six-Day War, right after, which was right before Shavuot, which is why to this day, people flock more than any other holiday, more than Pesach, more than Sukkot, people flock on the night of Shavuot or the morning of Shavuot to the Kotel, because the first time that we're able to come together after the Six-Day War, after 19 years of not coming to Yerushalayim, was on Chag HaShavuot. And he says, wow, remember that Midrash about the humility of the mountain of Har Sinai that served as the basic reason, as again, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Dafka Har Sinai was because of Anava? He says, then it must be that when Yerushalayim became reunified, when we were all reunited in Yerushalayim, it must have also been because of humility. And he depicts his own modern Midrash and describes how at the time of the Six-Day War, the Malachim are coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, Hashem, and all of the Chayalim, they're waiting. The Knesset finally approved at 2 o'clock in the morning to go ahead and conquer Har HaBayit, to try to attempt to regain control of the old city. So Hashem, which gate should they enter? And Hashem says, okay, let's see. And sure enough, take a look at this beautiful Midrash that tells us that in 1967, again, each one of the mountains came and said, starting with Shar Yafo, the Jaffa Gate, he said, two roads go out from me on page 7. One leads to the city of Yafo, the other to the Mediterranean Sea. Again, the other one goes all the way on Derech Hebron, where Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah are all buried in Marat HaMachpelah. Near me is Migdal David. I'll make sure that the soldiers of Israel enter the old city safely. But then Shar Shechem, the Damascus gate, spoke and said, no, again, I'm the biggest and most beautiful. I go all the way to Shechem from Yerushalayim. The soldiers should come through me. Shar Tzion says, but do you remember me from 1948? You can still see my bullet holes as you enter. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm bruised and shattered. I deserve to have the people and the victory come from me. Choose me, choose me. Shar Hashpot, the dung gate, says, really? I've been the one that's called the dung gate because people have been throwing their garbage on me for so many years. Now I understand. I would rather be covered with the garbage of Yerushalayim than with all the precious jewels in the world. Every day, I try to comfort the Kotel, which is right next to me. And it's sad because the Jews cannot pray there now. So can't you make Yerushalayim and the soldiers happy through me? It was then Shar HaPrachim, the flower gate. No, no, it's not right that the soldiers of Israel should enter the old city through the dung gate. Let them enter through me. I will throw upon them wreaths of flowers. It should be through me, through me. Shar HaChadash, the new gate, that said, I'm the smallest and the newest of the gates, so much so that I'm not even counted as one of the seven gates of Yerushalayim. But I'm near the Israeli side of the city, and I watch every day as our enemies fire upon me. I try to protect Israel, but I cannot, so let the soldiers come through me. Next came Shar HaRachamim, the golden gate, which, as we know, was closed up already by the Ottomans. Its voice was muffled because it was closed and said, Ribono Shel Olam, for years my entrance had been sealed shut because you have promised that the Jews would return from the eastern side of Yerushalayim through me, and that's why our enemies sealed me shut. So it's only right that the soldiers of Israel should enter through me. Only Shar HaRayot, the lion's gate, was left to speak. God pointed to it, but it remained silent. Finally, it began to speak in a soft voice. God in heaven, from all directions, I see soldiers fighting and being wounded. My heart is breaking, and I cannot bear to watch any longer. It doesn't matter through which gate the soldiers enter. Just make the fighting stop. God and the angels heard these words and whispered among themselves. Then God turned to the lion's gate and said, all the other gates are interested in their own honor, but you care about the lives of the soldiers of Israel more than you do about yourself. Therefore, we have decided that the soldiers of Israel will enter the old city through you. Let the young lions go forth and enter through the lion's gate. The armored car swept through the alleyways and set the city free. At the western wall, they blew a great blast on the shofar. The blast was heard throughout the lands, and everyone knew that the gates of the old city were once again open to Jews. A miracle had occurred. Yerushalayim was united. Yerushalayim has to be united in order for us to appreciate what it means to be unified. We have to learn how to be humble. We have to recognize, as the Midrash in Tehillim says, that we're still missing something. So as much as we celebrate on Yom Yerushalayim, we know that we long for the Beit HaMikdash. And as the Sefer HaKuzari, Rav Yehuda Halevi, points out, our longing is finally what will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash as the ongoing revelation of the Shekhinah. Maybe we need to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim to recognize not just what we have, but what we don't yet have. And with that, come to Chag HaShavuot with greater fervor. But Rav Neria tells us one last beautiful idea. When we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim and come through Shar HaPrachim and come through Shar Yafo and Shar Tzion, and we see the bullet holes of Shar Tzion, and we remember in 1948 that the Haganah, the Lechi, the Palmach, everyone was trying to conquer Yerushalayim. And he asked, why did it take 19 years? And on one hand, it was exactly as it happened during the time of Shivat Zion. It took us 19 years from the time that Koresh allowed us to return to Eretz Yisrael until the time that we actually finally built the Beit HaMikdash in 516 BCE. But Rav Neria said, still, we were so close. He says, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us the message of Yerushalayim. Had 1948, when the Palmach and the Lechi and the Etzel and the Haganah were all trying to conquer Yerushalayim, each one from its own gate. Can you imagine, had one of them succeeded? It would have been like Shnayim Ochazim Betalit. Everyone would have said, it's me, the city is mine. They would have been the ones to establish the rules. He said it took 19 years until we could be properly unified with an IDF. Hashem waited these 19 years to teach us that the conquest of Yerushalayim, its first beginning, was with the reunification of the tribes of Israel. Its recent beginning was with the blessing of the unity of the people. As long as we continue to be united, all of Yerushalayim will continue to be ours. Maybe the message of Yom Yerushalayim is to remind us of the significance of an Ir Shechuburah LaYachdav, so that we can celebrate Chag HaShavuot, Zman Matan Torah, properly, not only understanding the significance of sacrifice over Torah and mitzvot and over Yerushalayim, not only so that we can appreciate and revisit revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we had by Yerushalayim, not only so that we can see a similar framework in the Beis HaMikdash as we had Gena by Chag HaShavuot, but maybe so that we'll be able to revisit Achdut in order to be restored by Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ish Echad, Belev Echad. Chag Sameach.